This is Bounded Tatatari Facebook Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this interview-only episode of Antic, the Atari 8-Bit Podcast. My name is Randy Kindig, and I'll be conducting the interview for this show. The interview is with Paul Westfall, a much more recent Atari vendor than Brad Cota, Bruce Carso, or Lance Rehnquist that I've recently interviewed. Paul not only offers some hardware and software, but also offers service, which is hard to come by these days. Paul is located in Portland, Oregon, and the interview was conducted on November 8th, 2014. Okay, I'm here with Paul Westfall, who has a site called 8-Bit Fix, and we're going to talk with him a little bit today. How are you, Paul?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Pretty good. So I'd kind of like to start out maybe just to find out a little bit about you before we get into your actual website. So can you talk a little bit about where you're located and maybe what you do a little bit?
Yeah, I'm in Portland, Oregon. I'm also a produce guy, so my Atari thing is something that developed on the side, but I enjoy both.
Okay.
That's about it.
So can you tell us how you got started with Atari computers?
Well, I got started back in right around as a freshman in high school. I got an Atari 800 XL, and I had an Atari 1050 disk drive. Was dissatisfied with it and wanted to get the Ferrari, so I got an Indus GT. And then from then on, I just started collecting games and tinkering around with hardware and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So did you end up keeping those, or did you get rid of them one day and then get back into it, or how did that go about?
No, unfortunately, I sold my Atari 800 XL and moved on to other things and started to work and was going to school. So the Atari took a back seat, but I got back into it when a buddy of mine came up with an 800 that was having issues. And so I decided to help him fix it. It took me a little bit because I hadn't been doing Atari hardware for a while. Mm-hmm. But then that re-sparked an interest. And so since then, I have been doing research and expanding my knowledge in the Atari computers, and have become pretty proficient at fixing them and doing stuff like that. So I now currently have a 800 XL made in Hong Kong, which is socketed motherboard, brand new keyboard, and a perfect case. That's my daily driver. So I came full circle.
Okay. So is that the only Atari 8-bit computer that you have? Is that XL?
Oh, no. No, no.
As far as your personal one.
Oh, my personal one? Well, I just acquired a 1200 XL.
Oh, okay.
Has 1 meg, dual RAM.
Wow.
And super video installed. But it didn't have a keyboard.
Oh, wow.
So, had everything but a keyboard, and it was fully functional. So, a guy at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo just happened to walk up out of the blue with a 130XE case with a 1200 XL keyboard, modded into it, and just gave it to me. And I thought that was very odd, that the only keyboard I would need would be in a 130XE case.
Yeah, that
but
is odd.
But this came to me out of the blue. So I took it home, I had to wait for the 1200 XL, and I plugged it in, and only two keys worked, so I took the entire keyboard apart, cleaned all the connections, put it back together, and now is it a fully functional 1200 XL with 1 meg of RAM.
Wow.
So that's, I'm probably going to keep that one. It's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
So the 800 XL and the 1200 XL are probably the ones I play with the most.
Yeah, so what do you actually do with them? I mean, do you play games on them? Do you do any productivity type things, programming, that sort of thing? Or or what do you actually do with them?
I have so much time. I would like to do some more stuff with them, but, you know, just keep, like, my inventory on disk, I think, would be cool, as opposed to a modern PC, just to give me a reason to fire up the disk drive. But I primarily play games on them.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any of the modern upgrades, like compact flash options or SD or SIO to PC, that sort of thing?
I do. I am very happy with my MyEye 2 compact flash cart.
Okay, the one from Atari Max?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, very happy with those. And I've ordered some blank carts and the programmer. So if people need some games, I can put some games on their form and get them started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very happy with the MyEye 2.
So at some point you decided that with the work that you had done on computers, that you were going to open a sales and service website, correct? Tell us what brought that about. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, it started when, like I said, my interest was peaked back in it when I started working on that 800. And then I was going through some tough times. And then, so I would just buy broken 600 XLs, XCs, you know, whatever 8-bit I can find at a cheap price. And it would help me relax, and I would work on them and clean them all up and fully restore them. So the website came about because everyone, I was going to shows and people kept asking me, you know, do you have a website? So Sean at the Commodore Computer Club, of all places, decided he would set me up with a website. So that way people can just visit the website, look at what I have in inventory, you know, and order what they want when they want it. And so, yeah, that's how that kind of came about.
So it kind of grew into it. I mean, it sounds like you had been doing some service, at least. Had you been doing sales as well before you opened the website?
Yeah, I've been to PRGE, and PRGE also has swap meets. And then we have, you know, there's people around town that know that I buy rare carts, and that I do, you know, repairs in my spare time. So, but that kind of grew because I was handing out business cards stating that I work on them. So, yeah, but it was local. Now I'm kind of expanding out a little bit. So if people don't want to do the eBay thing, then they can just, you know, call me up or send me an email, and, you know, and then that way it's always nice to meet new Atarians and people that are just getting into it or getting back into it as I did.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about what kind of service you actually provide if people want to send in a broken machine or broken peripheral? Do you work on the peripherals as well or just the computers, or what exactly kind of service do you do?
Well, not so much peripherals. I'm not much of a disk drive guy, but I do have a gentleman down in California that does those, and he's very proficient at it. I can diagnose problems and generally fix them. You know, pretty much diagnosis and just basic, you know, repair. I kind of know what goes wrong with them after a long time, so they're fairly easy to diagnose. I haven't done too many, you know, have too many shipped in as of late, because that just kind of started.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly local people come in and ask me, or people on Atari Age, or people send me an email saying, you know, people that already have knowledge on how to repair stuff are looking for answers, and I can pretty much tell them, hey, it's most likely this.
Mm-hmm.
So
can you talk about what maybe some of the common issues are that people have talked to you about or
common issues? Probably the most common issue would be people use what I refer to as the, well, without saying too much, the worst power supply. There are several 6 or 7 power supplies that Atari put out for the 8-bits. And 2 of them are the worst. And when they go, they take the computer with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the most common issue is one of those bad power supplies, or someone plugging in the wrong power supply and then frying the board or frying some chips. So that is probably the most common problem.
So when you say when the power supply goes out, sometimes it actually fries the computer at the same time?
It will take out ICs, yes.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes a bunch of them, or sometimes just a couple in a row, depending on which 8-bit you have. Sometimes the RAM is the first to go. Others, it depends on the 8-bit. Some of the GPIA or some of the custom ICs will go first. They'll take the hit first. And then people figure, well, I'll just turn it off and turn it back on. Well, by then, the power supply is fried, and probably by turning it back on, you could do some more damage to it. So that's probably the most common problem. That and, these things are old. So there's a little bit of bit rot, in some of the ICs and, some basic mistreatment. Most people tend to take care of their trains. They use them, tend to take care of them. So there's less mistreatment, but more so the power supplies and just, the age of them affects them.
So do you refurbish power supplies, or do you sell a replacement power supply of some sort? Or
I do not. I just go out and I buy brand new ones. So after I fix a computer, or if someone needs one, I usually have some in stock. I buy them from either Best Electronics or BNC Computer Visions.
Okay,
I tend to buy the better ones.
Yeah, because I think they each have replacement power supplies that they
brand new.
Yeah, that they designed. Yeah. Okay.
No, they have actually brand new old stock.
Oh, brand new old stock. Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then on some like the Indus GT power supplies, my disk drive guy will take those apart and put a fuse in them. So if those go, then they won't take the drive with them. And then some of the later Atari power supplies can be taken apart and fused. So if they do go, they're fused, and they won't take your computer with them. Those can be modded, and my disk drive guy does those for me. That's something that he does. I just send him off, and he does them.
Now, I've seen a replacement power supply, a modern version, sold on eBay before. Are you familiar with those, and are those good power supplies?
No. I don't know. But okay. Anything new like that, sort of proprietary, I tend to stay away from. I just keep everything as stock as possible.
Sure, okay.
It's always a safe bet. Not to say that those are bad or anything, but I haven't had any personal experience with them, and I'd just rather keep everything, as original as possible.
Sure.
So what do you Except do? When doing RAM upgrades.
Yeah, what do you do in those situations where it's a chip, and are you able to find replacements in these days?
Yes. You can find RAM all over the place. Unicorn Electronics has RAM. I buy, when I upgrade 600 XLs, I buy the RAM from Unicorn Electronics, and sometimes I'll buy it from Best Electronics as well. But yeah, there are replacement ICs and RAM, out there still, it's still a reasonable price. So it just depends on the board. If the board is soldered, then that can be a bit more tricky to repair. The XLs aren't bad. The 400s and 800s are socketed, so that's not an issue. The XCs are probably the toughest ones to do because they were cheaply made, and when you start desoldering the boards, they tend to pull up traces. So XCs are definitely the biggest, the hardest ones to work on. Simply because they're just cheaply made. But I tend to, the ones I sell, I always try to buy the Hong Kong 800 XLs because they're all socketed.
Okay.
So when I see that on eBay or in garage sales, I always shoot for the Hong Kong 800 XLs. I buy them up in a heartbeat because the motherboards are socketed. and all the 600 XLs are socketed. So I buy those up when I can get those for a cheap price and put in a 64K RAM upgrade.
Yeah, so then you basically got a smaller 800 XL, right?
Yeah. It's the same thing as an 800 XL and has a smaller footprint. I've got a whole bunch of those that I'm doing.
So what do you do if one of the custom ICs goes out, like the Antic or the Pokey or GTIA or one of those? Are you able to find stock for those?
Absolutely. I just call up Brad at Best Electronics and order some. Or when some of the bad socketed, I do get bad boards. They do go bad once in a while. So I'll just pull all the chips out of them and save them. And then throw the old board out. But I do try to keep stock of the GTIA, the Antic, the Pokies. So I have some of those in where, you know, if I need one, I just pop them in.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty quick, easy replacement.
Okay. Well, besides service, you also sell software at your store, right? So
Yes. Where
do you get the inventory for that?
I hunt. I hunt garage sales. eBay, you might, if you get real lucky on eBay, you might get a lot for a really good price that has some rare carts in there.
Sure.
Once in a while, maybe once a month, I'll find a lot that has a rare cart in it, and I'll buy it up just for that cart.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but garage sales, you just, I'd go on the Craigslist and type in Atari and then garage sale part of it. And then I'd start hoofing it, start walking around the neighborhoods, driving around, you know, looking in people's boxes and stuff, and you never know what you're going to find.
Right. So, I mean, you're probably in a fairly populous area, so it's probably fairly easy to find a lot of garage sales and flea markets and that sort of thing, I would assume, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. The downside to that is that there's other people that do the same thing I do, so I have to get there early.
Sure. Stand there and wait for them to open up, right?
Yeah, I'm one of the early birds. Show up with my coffee and, you know, I usually send out an email first and see if they have it, so there's no waste of time. But if they even hint that they have anything, then that's where I'll show up.
So we're recording this on November 8th. When did you actually open the website?
The website was started, let's see, right before Portland Retro Gaming Expo. So it was up and running October 15th or 16th.
Okay, so it's been less than a month to this point.
Less than a month.
How have things been? How have things been so far? You got a good reception?
Well, I haven't really pushed the advertising on it. I haven't put anything on Atari Age or anything like that. So it's basically still my construction. And the web designer has just made the web counter roll over when you go on the website. So the web counter is kind of a joke right now. But it's still under construction, so once I feel that we have the website up, you know, where we need it, and where I can go and edit the inventory, then I'll start pushing and putting it out there, you know, the website is here, and, you know, come visit and see if you need anything. Stuff like Atari Age and some pages on Facebook, like Atari Museum and places like that. Then I'll start pushing it.
Right. So are you planning on focusing on a particular type of inventory, like games?
Yes.
Specifically?
Well, I've had really good luck with at PRGE, and as of late, in general, with the 64K RAM upgraded 600 XL. It does everything the 800 XL does, but has the smallest footprint.
Right.
And, you know, compared to even the Zags, I mean, it's a third of the size, so.
Yeah, I might be interested in something like that because I don't have a lot of desk space and I've got my 800 XL out right now, but it'd be kind of nice to have a little more room there.
Yeah, it's, I'm looking at my keyboard right now, my PC keyboard, and it's about the same size, a little taller and thicker, but it's about the same size as a modern PC keyboard.
Yeah.
So pretty cool, pretty neat little gaming system. And so I'm working on also, I have done some S-Video mods to them and composite.
Oh, okay.
And my friend does those because every 600XL is different. For some reason, they were made for so long and so many different places. Well, Hong Kong, but they were put together, and the way the video is on them, they're always different. So you have to go in there and tinker around with them and put a resistor here or whatever. But I've done S-Video, and I've done composite on them, and I think composite's probably the most compatible for people because everyone has those RCA inputs on their modern TVs. Not everyone has, they don't put S-Video on modern TVs anymore, so.
Right.
So we're going to start doing some more video mods in that.
So I don't have a 600XL. It doesn't have a composite out port. Is that one of the things that's missing on it?
Yeah. You do actually have to cut a hole in the back of the case and put another RCA out. You use the original RF hole for sound, and then you have another port that you put in for video.
Okay. Gotcha.
So think Atari, the XCGS, I commonly refer to as the Zegs. It has composite out as well as RF.
Mm-hmm.
So think those two RCAs out on the Zegs. And it puts out a pretty good picture, too. You'd be surprised, the 600XLs, for the most part, have pretty terrible RF out. You get lucky every once in a while and have one that has pretty good RF out, but for the most part, their RF on that 600XLs is pretty poor. Strangely enough, the 400s and 800s have excellent RF out. So, just one of those things.
Yeah.
And the 800XLs are, they're okay RF out, but the monitor port and the 800XLs out is excellent.
Yeah.
I hope are you using that?
Yeah, I am. I much prefer to use the monitor out port.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the TV that I've got, my old TV I've got hooked to has composite jacks on it, so it works out well.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, the 600, I'm focusing on the 600XLs. I have one coming in today, boxed. I got lucky on that one. And, let's see, and then right now I'm focusing on rare cartridges. And rare, I mean by in-home baseball. I just picked one. I got lucky and got one of those. I've got three Seamus, which will work on an XL as long as you hold down the select or option key when you boot it.
Hmm. Okay.
It just gets the title screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm just focusing on third-party carts that are hard to find right now.
Would that include some of the programming carts, like the OSS programming languages or Microsoft Basic, that sort of thing?
If I can find them, I'll buy them at a reasonable price. I'll buy them.
Yeah.
But only the real staunch purists really want those, so...
Well, I guess I'm one of those.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the OSS carts are pretty rare.
Yeah, they're kind of pricey. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weirdest one I had a boxed Assault Force 3D, which is a disc and supercharger combo.
Hmm.
I think I recently sold that. That was that's a really weird little cart.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
I bet. Yeah, it's it had a... I knew one of the guys that worked at Super Corporation, which was based here in Oregon, at PRGE last year. And he said they had a bunch of extra math coprocessors laying around. So they decided to make a game that utilized the math coprocessor, put it in a cart, so you would load the game from disk, and then it would... use the math coprocessor in the car to render quote-unquote superior graphics. I think it was more of a fad than anything, but it was a neat idea that never really took off. So course, you know, Super did some really, really cool stuff in the Atari 8-bit, so.
So it sounds like you're pretty involved in the Atari community. You're on Atari Age, and you go to some of these shows. Is that yeah. correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Paul Westfall on Atari Age. I didn't feel a need to have a handle. I figure.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't have one of the fancy handles that some
yeah.
people like to use. But
yeah, I figure if people want to know who you are, you know, hey, what the heck, I don't, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about or cover?
No, other than the fact that, you know, Christmas is coming around, and I'm trying to put some more 8-bits into the hands of families. I mean, how cool would it be to open up a present on Christmas Day and have a refurbished Atari in there?
I'd love that.
A couple of cards. I think it would be cool.
Yeah.
So right now I'm talking to friends and family and seeing if they, you know, they would like one, so... And then I might put something out on Atari Age here in a little bit right before Christmas to see if anyone wants to do that.
Well, you know, maybe we can help get the word out about your store with this podcast. So how would people contact you, and actually what is the address for your store?
It's not really a store per se, but I do have a huge room in the basement dedicated to just Atari. But the site is www.8bitfix.com. And you can send me an email or whatever, and, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I mean, like most of us, I do have a job, but, you know, getting back to people and putting this cool stuff in their hands is pretty important to me, so.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate your time today. It's been
thank you.
It's been great finding out about your store, and I wish you luck with that. Certainly, there isn't a lot of places to get your machine serviced today, so it's great that you're offering that service. And
yeah,
always glad to see additional Atari 8-bit stuff out there.
Yeah, there's. I really prefer to work on the socketed stuff, but if I have to, I'll work on the soldered stuff, or offer, you can still get new motherboards. And there are, I think the 800s and 600 XLs are only $50. And even the Zags are $50. So sometimes it's more cost effective just to get a new motherboard and pop it in.
Sure.
Same with the Jag. We didn't talk too much about the Jag, of course, because we're 8-bit, but same with the Jaguar, too. But I think he raised the price on drop-in motherboards for the Jaguar, too.
Hmm.
So they have good... Everything is going up in price on the 8-bit, though, even on eBay and all that stuff. So that's another reason I jumped in there when I could. So.
Yeah, it is. It seems like it's getting to be fairly popular and in fairly high demand. And, of course,
yep.
the stock is dwindling over time as well, at least on the computer
yeah.
side.
And that's another reason why I got into it, because there was only one other person in the Portland area that you could go and get stuff, and his stock was fairly limited. So at least someone locally now can just, you know, I'm within minutes of most of Portland because I'm centralized. And then, of course, you know, I will ship it off, too. So, yeah.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you very much for your time. And we really appreciate you coming onto the show and talking with us.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye.